Hello, welcome to Fun Dip and Cherry Coke, the podcast to feed your pop culture nostalgia. I'm your host, Kira Gowan, and this week my guest is the magnificent Molly Saunders. We do discuss in this episode some adult themes, including sexual assault. Nothing too graphic or in detail, but if that's something that makes you uncomfortable, just wanted to give you the heads up front. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show. Hello, welcome to Fun Dip and Cherry Coke, the podcast to feed your pop culture nostalgia. I still am like super bad at these intros. No matter what I do, I'm super bad at these intros. This week I'm joined by Molly, who I will say is probably one of my oldest friends in that we've been friends the longest amount of time. So this is going to be really fun because we have a lot of a shared history. So Molly, what are we talking about this week?
Okay, so I'm very excited. We're going to watch The Last Unicorn, which when you told me what this whole podcast was about, I was like, okay, done, sold. I know what I need to do.
And I was trying to remember, like, did we watch this together or was this something that we kind of experienced?
I mean, I have watched it so many times that same. I feel like, like, we would walk to the video store, the, like, Blockbuster. It was a Blockbuster or was it, like, one, some rando?
The one on, like, North and Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We would walk down there and
it was Blockbuster. That's the same one that Jenny always went to,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was like some like mom and pop
type
thing. But there was only two movies I remember repeatedly renting as a kid. And it was Last Unicorn and Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, my God. And that's like totally different from me because the ones that I rented, like a whole bunch of movies starring like the kids who played Jane and Michael Banks in the original.
You Mary like Poppins. Curated your... Rentals.
Yeah, well, they just happened to be in like a lot of really good movies around that time.
I like don't even know a single other thing.
I don't remember if they were in Escape to Bear Mountain or maybe it was Witch Mountain. I don't remember what kind of mountain it was, where it was like magic stuff happened on a mountain. That might have been them. I don't remember. And then there was also one with a cat that I rented a lot.
Well, we watched Milo and Otis
a
lot.
Yes, we did. We watched so much Milo and Otis. That's a great movie.
But I think we aren't like you.
I think so.
That.
Probably that was one that was like we rent this enough; it's worth.
I'm like, all right, come on.
We watched Babar a lot,
mm-hmm. Which I now have thanks to your mom.
I have a lot of Babar posters at my house, mm-hmm. Thanks to you and my mom.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty
bringing
good.
Bringing it back.
So what do you remember about this movie?
Honestly, I remember probably the first time I saw it being really scared of it. Because the Red Bull is like a freaking terrifying creature.
You know what I just put together? That there's a drink called Red Bull, and the villain in that movie is a Red Bull.
You know, I mean, we'll have to see if the illustration looks similar.
I don't think it does.
I think that's like kind of a stretch.
I think it is, but it is something that just now occurred to me.
There you go.
That Red Bull is terrifying. So scary. Maybe that's why I don't like Red Bull to this
Almost certainly.
Actually, it's not the reason that it's that I like drank it too many times and like puked in a plant once.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah, it'll do that.
But yeah, I just remember that part of it. And like the music is so corny and incredible.
I only remember like the main theme song. Like,
well, right. But it's like just the most 80s out possible.
I feel like I watched this movie in like high school maybe. And I think it's like America or maybe Journey.
Yeah. No,
or
it's
something.
America. Because I actually bought it like maybe 7 or 8 years ago. Because I forget why it even got brought up. And I was like, oh my God, I have to see this again. And from that, I think I learned like actually more about it. Like how many insanely famous people are the voice actors.
Yeah. I remember Mia Farrow and that's really the only one that I can think of.
So Jeff Bridges is like the prince. Which is hilarious. No, Schmendrick is like the terrible magician main character guy.
There's a prince in this movie?
Yeah, barely. Like, who cares? Oh, he's super boring.
I think I don't remember it
even worse than I thought. I didn't remember
it. I think so. Okay. Then Christopher Lee is like the king.
Who I need to Google him because like, I still don't know who that is. Owns the
bowl or has it?
Who keeps it trapped in the cave. Yeah.
So that's the son. The son is the prince. Oh,
okay. Who does the voice of the cat?
Oh, man. I don't know. But I remember the cat and the skull.
Yeah, the cat and the skeleton. Talk. The cat is like a pirate. And the skeleton drinks a lot of...
The skeleton drinks a lot of wine and it just pours through his skeleton. Yeah. I remember thinking that was so red. Hilarious as a child. And now I'm kind of like, oh, man.
And he turns red. I really like that. I'm trying to think of how the theme song goes.
All I can think of is like the part that just says the last unicorn.
I'm alive. Is that...
I don't know. I mean, that sounded better than...
It's like when the something, 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 something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As soon as we start watching it, I'm going to start singing along. That's for fine. Sure. Like, it's absolutely.
It's going to happen.
I really liked this movie. And I think... So, I kind of came back around to this movie around the end of high school to the point where... And I'm like really embarrassed to admit this. My senior quote in my high school yearbook is the last unicorn.
Yes, this is the best.
It's not even a good one.
What is it?
It might be racist. Like I have no idea what it means. It's I am Shmendrick the Magician, the last of the Red Hot Swamis, and I too am real. What does that even mean? Who was clue. I? Like
now we have to. Oh boy. Okay, I don't even remember any of that.
I think. He's, like, trying to prove that he can do magic, and maybe it says something about, like...
What is this Red Hot Swami?
I have no... That's the thing. Is it racist? I don't know. Like...
We might have a problem, Kira.
I know. I'm aware. this is the first time I've ever talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I, like...
Get
I don't
it
know.
All out.
I
Get
think
it
I, like,
all re- out.
Regretted it, like, pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
I mean, I regret a lot about high school, so...
Yeah, but anything that, like, made it into the permanent record... Yeah.
Probably. I just don't want to know.
God, now I'm just thinking about yearbooks.
I think I have mine.
I definitely have mine. I'm trying to think of, like, if I made any regrettable decisions. I had some cool hairstyles.
I did also have a lot of cool hair. Well, cool.
Yeah, I probably was imitating your hairstyles, if we're being honest.
I think just different.
Well, I think I was trying to emulate.
Mm.
For sure. How do you feel about a unicorn and then she turns into a lady?
Right. She gets turned into a lady and she's like, they're all searching for the rest of the unicorns.
Yeah.
And trying to figure that out and they have to fight the Red Bull.
Yeah.
And at the end they're like narwhals or something.
Oh God.
That's what I remember is there's some narwhals in there. And
I don't remember this movie at all.
I can't wait for you to watch it again. Man.
If I'm thinking about it, like the messages that this movie is trying to impart are like about keeping creatures in captivity. Is that?
That's totally possible. Because I think she did not want to be turned into a lady.
Yeah. And well, and then there's also like a part in the beginning.
There's like so I remember the harpy. There was like a carnival kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I forget if the unicorn is in it or if she gets.
I think she's not in it. And there's something about like you have to like look beyond what is actually.
Like appearances.
Yeah. And see the like, oh God. Oh, yeah. So the witch has, she's bewitched all of these, like, the sad toothless lion to, like, look like this other thing. And then the something else to look like a harpy. And then the unicorn comes in and she puts her horn into the...
So they're all, like, normal animals.
Yeah. And she puts her... And they said, oh, but you, my dear, you are real.
Right. So she has to, like...
Yeah, she magics all their cages away.
No.
Who magics...
Because Shmendrick...
Oh. Dude, is Shmendrick... Is he a magician?
Shmendrick's like a real shitty magician. It like good. Sometimes works for him.
Wait, he did something with the... Did he make the wine? Oh, God. Maybe we should just watch it.
We have to watch it because right now I'm like fully grasping at straws. I just remember like some insane animation.
Yeah.
Really, you know, powerful ballads and oh, my just...
God. So, yeah, she sings a song.
Yeah. Dreamy voice.
Yeah, with the
Prince.
Yeah, there's the prince. He sings a song at her. right? About how much he loves her.
That sounds very aggressive.
And yeah, she's like, probably. I'm not into you. I'm a unicorn. Stop trying to hit on me, you sick fuck. Like,
yeah, that's exactly right? What she says.
I'm pretty sure she says that.
Okay. I can't wait. Let's watch this.
She has like a thing on her head.
Yeah, she has like a little like a jewel or something, or like a little spot.
And she doesn't wear a lot of clothes at first because her hair is super long.
Yeah, she's just naked with long white hair.
It's perfect.
Pretty cool.
Okay. We have to watch this so we can figure out what actually happens in this movie. We'll be back in a second.
Hey, podcast listeners. Are you looking for something a little bit different? Then tune in to my podcast, We're All Mad Here. Join me, Rachel, as we talk about creepy facilities, some pretty questionable cures, as well as checking up on some famous and not so famous people who have dealt with mental illness in their life. Informative, scary, and with a little bit of sarcasm. If you enjoy learning about the truly crazy parts of history, you're going to love We're All Mad Here. Episodes come out weekly, and I hope you'll join us.
Hey, do you like movies?
Hey, do you like podcasts?
If you do, then come on down and listen to the Home Video Hustle podcast, homie.
Hustle, hustle.
Every Friday, we talk about whatever movie PJ picks out the bag. What does that mean? Well, every Wednesday on our YouTube page, I pick a bunch of movies at random. Sometimes there's a theme to it, sometimes not. PJ picks the movie out, and guess what? We watch it on Friday. We talk about it for about maybe an hour, hour and a half, whatever we feel like doing. Might give you something good to watch, baby. Come on down every Friday.
So come get your hustle on with Home Video Hustle.
You can find the show on any podcatcher app, or you can come down to homevideohustle.podbean.com. All of them in one place for you, so you can go ahead and binge it like it's Netflix. We ain't the defenders. But I like to think we're a little bit better than that. Come out at your boys, man. Come chill with us. Peace.
Peace.
And we're back. So fun. It's actually a lot.
It's like kind of serious, though.
Yeah, it's like a lot less fun than I remembered it. Like, it's...
The music is exactly as fun as I remember.
Yes.
It.
And there's more of it than I remembered.
Yeah, because considering that we could only remember like three words of the one song.
Well, because we remember the first song, and then I didn't remember the Man's Road song at all.
Okay, but literally exactly when it came on, you started singing it word for word. Yeah, no problems.
That's totally true.
Like, it's there.
It's gone now, though.
But it's inscribed upon your heart.
Somewhere. The song, the Last Unicorn song, came back so hard and fast.
Like, yeah.
When the last moon is over the last crumbling mountain.
You basically, yeah, you had it.
I don't know the words like word for word, but... Yeah.
If we played it right now, though.
You can see her. There she sparkles. It's the last unicorn. I'm alive.
Yes.
I'll do anything to sing on mic, like any excuse.
Yeah, take it.
It's so fun.
Take it.
And I hope that brought a lot of memories back for a lot of people. I really do. What'd you think?
Oh, man. It definitely lived up to my... 8-year-old hype.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like, was it how you remembered it, or
I mean, yes and no.
Like,
I definitely remember some parts being like super scary.
Yeah,
and they're still pretty fucking weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it like lived up, but there were some parts I super didn't remember, like boob tree.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
There were definitely a couple. Just
and the
like,
butterfly, I didn't remember like
those
at
were
all.
The two cameo characters that, as soon as they showed up, I was like, "Yep, everything about this I remember."
Because the butterfly like kicks it all off, and wasn't even like a bare memory at all.
Yeah,
because it was so weird.
But as he was singing, I was like, "Oh yeah, I know all these songs because of the butterfly."
Oh really? Yeah. Yeah. No, like, I was just
has
like,
anyone here seen Betty
Carrie
or whatever? Yeah, all those songs that he was kind of weaving in and out of.
I still really like to think that that's where the caterpillar in Alice in Wonderland grew up and went over to the Last Unicorn,
or maybe like the one in Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is there a butterfly in that?
Oh, no, there's a caterpillar.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Apparently, yeah. I cannot remember these insect characters.
Yeah, they're just little bugs. What other movies have little bug characters?
Just long silence. Nothing. Yeah, I'm done. I'm good there. I mean, Charlotte's Web.
Sure. Yeah. Does anything else have like a little worm though?
Doesn't the Fox and the Hound have that little worm, and the woodpecker's always trying to get it?
That
is that the Fox and the Hound?
But that movie was always too sad, so I never watched it.
Yeah.
That movie like really.
Yeah, I think I watched it 1.5 times.
Yeah, that one was like a major.
But there was definitely. I think there was.
Maybe.
And don't they turn into some kind of insect in, what's the Merlin one?
Didn't see that one either. Shit.
The Sword in the Stone.
Nope, didn't see that one either.
Oh, shit, Kira.
I thought you were going to say Franz Kafka's Metamorphosis.
And
I
was gonna well, say, like, you yeah. went a little more intellectually relevant than me.
Yes, they do turn into a bug in that one.
It's okay, very, yeah. okay. I'm, like, talking Disney movies, and you're like, well, actually, what about Kafka?
Do you want to just, like, have an hour-long conversation about Gregor Samsa?
I mean, sure, but I gotta, like, brush up on
Let's
that.
Let's not.
Yeah, no, that is.
Let's not. Although I do really like the, oh god, David Rakoff piece in verse where it's Gregor Samsa communicating with Dr. Seuss about his condition. Man.
Yeah. I haven't heard that, but that sounds amazing.
So good. Yeah, David Rakoff is amazing. Well, I just re-listened to the
like NPR thing. One. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's the best. What else turns into a bug? Are there any bug characters in Thumbelina?
I don't know if I've seen that.
I'm pretty sure you have because I like have memories of watching it with you.
I mean, probably, it,
like,
but
in like middle school.
Clearly not enough to remember if there's a bug in it.
Because I feel like
there's a lot of singing bugs in Anastasia, right? When they're in the underworld, Bartok sings maybe. With bugs or something.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Are there bugs in Lion King? Jeez, now we're just
let's on. Just go straight through all the possible Disney movies. Yeah, I think we could find some stuff, yeah. But a little off track.
But yeah, that butterfly was for sure. Like as soon as he showed up, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I think can't I believe. I feel like I betrayed myself that I didn't remember that part. Yeah. I was like, seriously.
No, I know the feeling exactly. And when like. The boob tree came in. I was like,
well, we were both as soon as, we saw him tied yeah. to that tree. We're like, oh my god, that's like. And I remember actually being like very disturbed yeah. by that yeah. as a kid. Like, oh god.
So for anybody who hasn't seen this movie, and is so like, why are you listening to this episode? Like, stop and watch it. It's on Netflix. But there's this. He gets strapped by this witch.
Shmendrick, the like yeah, magician sidekick.
He gets strapped to this tree, which he, I guess he's trying to, like, free himself from, but instead of freeing himself from it, because he's bad
yeah,
at magic.
Yeah, so he's, like, frustrated, and he's, like, really shitty at magic.
Yeah, but he turns the tree alive.
Oh, God. And it has, like, these gnarly pieces of its trunk that just look like these huge boobs that he's, like, directly tied between. Yeah. It's yeah. very weird.
His face is, like, fully sandwiched.
He's motorboating this tree, and it is into it. The tree is, like, the in tree, love.
Yeah, as soon as we saw the tree, we both just immediately were, like, talking like the tree and quoting the tree. Like, I love you. Love, 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 love.
Love, 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 love. Like,
just immediately.
Yeah.
It came back so quickly. And
that's
exactly
what I love,
what I
though.
Wanted it to do.
Exactly. Is that that's like a movie I watched so much. I probably at one point could have told you any mm-hmm. line at any time.
Yeah.
And then it like goes away completely. Like you have no access yeah. to it. But then when you watch it again, you're like, oh, I know. I
there
know
it is.
This.
Yeah. It comes back
and
so
like,
fast.
And like the, what was it? When the cat was talking, because I couldn't have told you what the cat's voice mm-hmm. was like, but I was like, oh, right. Okay,
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Like puns on cat words and then is perfect. Like a pirate.
You know perfectly well.
Perfectly well.
God, that cat was definitely cooler than I remember. I don't know.
It was way more suave.
I love cartoon cats and all cats. and that's always been true.
That
but
one's
like
pretty high up there.
This one I don't remember caring that much about.
Yeah.
But now that I watch it, it was like
oh, he's so cool.
Definitely the highlight for me.
What was the line he says about like people wanting to be fool themselves or something like that. Like, cats never fall for something that's not there.
Cats always see things as they are. Yes. And people, like, choose.
People, like, see things how they want to see them.
Yeah.
But cats never do.
Yeah. Cats see things as they are. People very rarely do, or something. He also said, no cat anywhere ever gave anyone a straight answer.
That, yeah, okay. It was the combo of those.
Yeah, I wrote down some.
Just too cool.
Some choice quotes, and that was absolutely one of them. Was that cat saying, why wasn't that my senior quote?
Oh, yeah, except like, for the Swami one.
Like, there were so many better lines in this movie. Why did I pick that one?
That's a really great question.
So while we were watching, you looked up Swamis.
Oh, yeah, because I was like, I know that's a term. Okay. So.
And I said, don't tell me off air. I'm going
to
learn.
All right. All about according Swamis. To the ultimate source, Wikipedia.
Hell yes.
So a Swami is an ascetic or yogi who has been initiated into the religious or monastic order founded by some teacher. But it also said that the root of the word is one who is one with his self.
Huh.
And so if Smendrick is calling himself
one with himself,
it's someone who's one with themselves. And he, like, very definitely is not through the whole movie. He's like, am I a magician? I want to be a magician. I have real magic, but I'm not good at it. And I can't harness it. And I can't.
Well, he also says he's the last. So it's, I am Smendrick the magician, last of the red hot Swamis. And I, too, am real.
Right. Which makes me. But then the whole time, all they repeat is how he does have real magic, but he's always not doing it correctly. So, like, when he wanted to free himself and he changed the tree into this crazy lady. Or when he tried to free her and he just, like, kept messing up, like, three times in a row.
And she says a really shitty thing to him.
Yeah.
She says, like, I can't even turn you into a real magician.
Yeah, like, she's like, I can't make something what it's not.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's
but, bitchy. Okay, so that line just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think it's basically just, like, some nonsense, but you could read into it all you wanted.
Which I guess I did. I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking.
Because he also said that it means husband.
Well, he also was, like,
not...
Yeah, he also
relevant
wasn't...
at all.
No. Look, we all do stupid shit in high school, and I'm just gonna...
Including calling yourself a red hot Swami.
Well, no, I said that Schmendrick. Well, I kind of call myself Schmendrick in a way. I don't know. I think I have no idea.
It's a great question.
So one thing that I kind of noted about this movie was that it's a lot deeper and darker than I remembered it on kind of a thematic level. Like, a lot more troubling than, so, like, one thing that kind of really stuck out to me this time was, so it's this unicorn, and she's being pursued by the Red Bull, who only fights unicorns, and she is cornered by the Red Bull, so Schmendrick does magic on her.
And that's, like, the only time, though, that he doesn't try and do a spell, though.
Yeah, he just says, like, magic, do what you will.
Yeah.
And what the magic chooses to do is turn her into a human, which is I felt weird about that.
We talked about was that it's, so we talked about the trade-off of if that's what it takes to be safe, was like totally taking out her whole being, like, everything about her being a unicorn. So, like, immortality and magic were gone.
And, like, we don't ever learn if, like, unicorns have, like, more profound emotions. We know that they lack certain emotions, specifically regret and love. But I don't know what they have, like, what emotions, so maybe they trade.
They're supposed to be, like, innocent and wise and magical. Yeah. And I don't know. It's, like, a pretty vague mythology that surrounds them. But a lot of it is related to, like, purity.
Right. So, yeah. So, I mean, not to, like... read a ridiculous thing, like a ridiculously like huge and serious thing into this like little kids movie, but
we kind of did.
But I'm going to. It reminded me of, like, I was listening to an interview with Roxane Gay, and when she was sexually assaulted as a child, she intentionally, well, kind of maybe subconsciously, gained a lot of weight in order to protect herself from being like a sexualized or sexualizable object. So it was kind of like this defense mechanism. So it kind of reminded me of that. Like, she just transformed from this, like, powerful creature to kind of, like, protect herself from a threat. But in this, she's kind of, like, turned into a sexual creature.
Yeah, that was pretty...
Yeah. Pretty
rough. But, I mean, yeah, it just seemed... I mean, obviously for the storyline, she had to, because she had to go and be a character that could talk to the king without being the right. unicorn, the last unicorn that he wanted,
right.
because then he would just have that.
So, I guess, and also, like, I didn't really think he's the main threat to her, not the Red Bull, because, like...
Right, the Red Bull's just his tool.
Right. And then, yeah, so then she's transformed into a woman and sings another song that I remember immediately.
I don't know. Which that one totally as well. Ties into, like, weird, like, virginity maiden
right.
stuff and unicorns and
yeah.
whatever.
There's definitely a lot of that. And, like,
yeah.
a lot of, like, men being creepy and women.
Yeah. And then the Molly character. Mm-hmm. Talking about, like, all of her regrets and being so angry that the unicorn didn't show herself
right.
to her.
Oh, God, that
until it was, like, too late. And
so
I remember,
heartbreaking.
Like, I remember that scene as a kid and just being like, I don't get it. Why is she so mad?
Yeah. Like, so the first time that this character, Molly, meets the unicorn character, she says basically, like, how dare you come to me now? When I am this, why couldn't you have come to me when I was
20 years ago
20 years
or
ago,
10 years ago
when I was new? And it was just Oof. Like, oh God. And she's like,
it's so heavy. And I'm like, oh, what
God.
Is happening in this children's movie?
Yeah.
This lady is, like, basically being upset that she's, like, too old or
right.
has regrets in her life.
But she still hasn't given up that, like, hope or dream. Like,
just like a, I think they talk about it in the beginning of, like, faith or some, there's something along those lines that you have to want to believe to be able to see the unicorn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she sees her right away.
And the only people who, I guess, I guess most people actually do. Like, the only people who don't see her right away are that, like, first farmer guy.
Right. And
like,
the creepy assistant at the carnival.
Yeah, dudes.
But also some of the audience at the carnival doesn't, except for that one, like, young girl.
Right. So, like, women seem to have an easier time seeing unicorns.
But Schmendrick sees her right away. But he also, like, is super wanting to believe in into magic and things.
Right. Do you think King Haggard knows that she's a unicorn from the very beginning?
That's what he says, but he doesn't until he doesn't see himself in her eyes.
Yeah. Because at first he's like, oh,
but the,
like,
magician,
what's your deal?
The, like,
right,
old magician at the castle,
yeah,
does
the original, like, wizard
mm-hmm.
who gets kicked out and replaced by Schmendrick, King Hagrid's jester, joker, who makes him sad.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a magician, but I think Hagrid kicks him out because he's like, you haven't made me happy,
right?
And this whole thing is about making himself happy,
right? Which, like, let's get into him as a character,
like,
now.
Can we make this more depressing and
the, like,
dramatic
aspects of the unicorn and Lady Amalthea? Let's get into, like,
and I love that it's all these themes on top of the most ridiculous, over the top
right.
like 80s doubt animated unicorn movie.
Yeah. So Hagrid is this old king who,
Hagrid, God, come
yeah.
on,
I keep wanting to call him Hagrid.
Yeah.
but I won't. He doesn't deserve that. But he's, like, this old king who forever ago decided that, or, like, he saw a unicorn
yeah.
once.
Yeah, when he was young, he saw a unicorn, and that's the only thing that's, like, ever made him happy is his, like, monologue to her.
Yeah. So
and so he started capturing them using
yeah.
the bowl so
he
that he could be happy.
The only thing that'll make him happy is, like, enslaving these creatures that represent purity and femininity in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And, like, using this really aggressive, violent creature to,
like, corral them into
yeah.
the sea and trap them.
Which is, like, such a shitty dude thing to do.
Yeah,
like,
there's some overtones for sure.
Yeah, well, so that, yeah, this movie had a lot of that. And his son is also a shitty dude.
I don't, no, I disagree. I think.
Okay, what do you think?
Because he's the one in the end who makes her change back. When she's all like, fuck that, I want to be a human, I'm in love with you. And he's like, no, that's absolutely not right.
Oh, like, that's
you have like, to. Mm-hmm. Because even Shmendrick is like, I don't think I can. And everybody's like, well, all right, I guess she's a person now. And he's like, no, that's not but right. I don't want it that way.
He only does that to complete the quest.
I guess so. Except, like, his whole quest was to make her love him. And so he did all those hero things of, like, killing the dragon and blah, blah, blah.
So that was his quest, but and then he found out that...
Well, and then she says she loves him, and then he's like, no, but that's not...
But he figures out that they were also on a quest, and they have to complete... So he like, switches from his quest to their quest.
I guess. What I don't love is that it's like, she doesn't decide to change back, and some guy is like, no, but I know what's best for you. I'm going to tell
you to change back. So that's like the whole movie. It's like some guy deciding what's best for her.
I mean, maybe that. Shmendrick, I feel like that's a little bit of a stretch.
Well, okay. Both of her transformations are against her will.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, I guess she does. She is the one who chooses to go on the quest herself to find the other unicorns. She wants to be freed. She doesn't want Shmendrick to go with her, though.
Well, that's like super unclear. She's like, come with me.
Yeah.
And then later she's like, but I don't actually want you to.
She does change her mind, I guess. Yeah. Okay. So her two transformations, mm-hmm. she transforms from a unicorn to a person because Shmendrick decided that that would be the only way. And she's like, no, please don't. Please change me back right now.
What the magic decided, right?
Yeah.
He could do what he intended.
Yeah. But so she's like, there's a line that she says right after she's transformed where she's like, I wish you would let the Red Bull take me. I can feel this body dying around me.
That is the creepiest line of all time. Oh my god, what a time.
Horrible, like, and as a child to be like, well, shit, I guess my body's just dying all the time all around me.
Right. Oh my god. And then she's like completely starts to forget who she is and her whole quest and all this stuff just because she got turned into a
Well, so a the person. Thing that really makes her forget her whole quest is falling in love.
Right.
Which is like...
And then King Haggard is like, oh, well, I guess if you keep being distracted by falling in love, I'll have you.
Yeah.
He's like, then I'll have captured you.
Ugh.
It's so weird. Like, why is this movie so weird?
He would be her father-in-law if they got married. Like, yuck. Yarf.
And yuck. I mean, I guess at that medieval time, he would own her, technically.
God.
Which is really cool for ladies.
I always forget that this movie takes place in, like, medieval times. And then there's, like, the women with their, like...
Their weird hats with the hats. Handkerchiefs over them.
Yeah.
I know all about it. Yeah. All the technical terms.
Yeah. What else stuck out about this movie?
Oh, man, the Mommy Fortuna, the, like, lady who captures her originally, who's, like, a witch.
Oh, my God.
And she also has the harpy.
Mm-hmm.
And those are her only two real magical animals in her, like, weird illusion carnival. And then so they get freed.
Uh-huh.
And all she cares about is, like, well, whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, you'll always know I captured you once.
Yeah.
And then the harpy eats her, and she's like, doesn't matter.
Yeah, that was super fascinating. So I think I wrote what she says. So, yeah, the unicorn is talking to her, and she's like, why did you capture that harpy? Like, she's wild and magical. Like, you have no right to capture her.
Yeah.
She'll kill you someday. And Mommy Fortuna said, she'll kill me, but she'll remember that I caught her. That's my immortality.
Yes.
And I was oh my God.
So heavy.
Like, yeah.
All these, like, little snippet quotes that you're like, whoa, I need a minute.
Yeah. And then she's just like, she's happy to die that way.
Oh, yeah. She, like, never once, like, tries to run away or is upset about it. She's just ready.
It's, oh my God. And she's also, like, creepy as hell.
She wears a tree.
She
The raven, I forgot.
Which
her like never sidekick raven that's always perched on her tree hat then follows them the rest of the movie and it's never explained. And it's like one of the last things you see is it flying away.
Yeah. Never explained.
What is that?
I have no idea.
Oh man. I just had no idea we'd have so many things to unpack. I thought I would watch it, I'd be like, oh, those songs are so corny and great and I remember them and it's great and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't remember this movie.
And here I am having an existential crisis about immortality and feminism.
Yeah, I mean, we've already talked about Gregor Samsa. Like, we've already brought Kafka into this conversation. We've got some Roxane Gay. Like,
oh man, yeah, you really made your dream. You tied that right in.
What other, like, deep things can we talk about? What are there, like, what are
oh
there?
My god.
No, let's not.
Well, I mean, I think this got heavy enough.
It did.
Yeah. For, like, such an insane children's movie. Sure.
One thing that I kind of remembered, like, I thought when I, like, visualized this movie, it kind of stuck with me, but not in any kind of specific way, was the attention on their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many
close-up eye shots.
Yeah, and, like, eyes that, like, change when people look in them, or, like...
I want to go back and rewind it and see if her skin color actually does change from, like, super white to, like...
I think it does.
Really,
I think
fair her... flesh tone, and her hair outline color changes from, like, a really light color to, like, a...
Yeah, as she
almost
kind of,
like, a pink...
As her immortality kind of
fades away. Yeah, her eyes definitely get
her eyes
dark and
sure
flat.
Darker. And, yeah, that's the king, the first time that he sees her, he says, I can't see myself reflected in your eyes. And then kind of...
He sees her, like, her home forest and her animals.
And then as the movie goes on and as she starts forgetting who she was, he, like, notes, like...
There's a scene where he sees himself in her eyes.
And that's when he's like, oh.
And then he tries to kill her by pushing her off that balcony. And then he's like, never mind, I won't. Yeah. I'll have you anyway if you keep being in love with my son.
We're back to the creepy king.
And it's full circle. Like, how can you avoid it?
Even, you know, Molly's eyes and, like, the shots of her, like, crying.
Mm-hmm.
And Mommy Fortuna and, like, all of the different magical creatures.
But also that, I mean, that animation style is very...
That's true.
Eye heavy.
And I don't know if I've seen any Miyazaki.
I don't know if he specifically was on this, but I know that the, like, animation house that did it, when they went broke, got bought or combined somehow to eventually make Studio Ghibli.
Oh, cool. And all of the animators, if you watch the credits, they're all Japanese. Mm-hmm. And I never, like,
but the
I don't
faces
know.
Of the characters look very like The Hobbit, the animated Hobbit.
Oh, that's true.
Version.
Except
like
for
the
her.
Noses and stuff. Oh, yeah, except for, I mean, the backgrounds definitely don't. And, like, those very much look like later Studio Ghibli stuff. Like, the backgrounds are, and the way things move seems really similar to that to me.
Yeah, it
but yeah, the
it
unicorn herself
style.
Was real weird and, like, hyper stylized.
Yeah, like, the backgrounds, like, there are these, like, super detailed backgrounds, and then anything that moves is, like, not super detailed. Which,
but even the other characters are more detailed than the unicorn. That's such a weird, because it doesn't even match the rest of the animation that
well. It's totally true. Like her as a human was really different, and then also her as a unicorn was really different than, like, we see horses, and they have, you know, they're stylized as well, but they've
like
muscle
more
detail.
Angles and definition and
she's just
know.
Got like a big old fat body.
She's just like a weird, like, stylized outline with teeny legs and, like,
that's so strange.
Yeah,
I definitely didn't remember her looking weird.
Right, but I think you just take it as a given.
That's what unicorns
look
like.
When you first see it, is that, like, you don't really compare it, because
when have you ever seen a unicorn?
Well, I mean, not like that, but, like, as a kid, you're not, like, so caught up in thinking about why they would stylize the unicorn differently. You're just, like...
Okay, why do you think they did stylize the unicorn differently?
I think to, like, totally play up the fact that she's not like any other creatures.
Interesting. I think you're right.
Like, I think that's a simple way, especially if they're going to go play into, like, changing her eye and her skin and all this color and using the way she's drawn to represent that she's not immortal anymore.
Yeah.
Would be a really easy way to do that.
Did you pick up on any of that as a kid? Like, her kind of slow transition?
I think
into...
the eyes. I do remember the eyes because I remember being, like, really panicked by her forgetting her whole mission and forgetting who she was and all this stuff. It was, like, terrifying
to
me. And I remember the eyes being the key to you seeing that transformation.
Interesting.
Not just with the king saying it, but, like, how they drew them was, like, very clear.
To me, I think I noticed the skin more than the eyes. Like, the...
This time, when you pointed it out, I was like, oh.
And you pointed out the eyes to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, they're very purple. And then you're like, they're getting darker. And I was like, what? Like, that didn't...
Yeah, so cool.
So, yeah, I think the animation style is... I don't know if... Is it high quality? I don't know.
I think so.
I don't know enough about animation to tell it. Like, I think it's very good.
I don't know a ton about it either, but I don't know. It seems high quality to me. Yeah,
and it also seems very smart. Like it just.
That's what I love stuff like that. That you would never, if it's done well, you don't consider it.
Yeah.
It just adds that depth.
Yeah. Let's talk about the skeleton.
I love that drunk ass skeleton.
He's definitely. I remember him being scarier.
Oh yeah, I was creeped, but I think I was creeped out by his like uncontrollable laughing.
Yeah,
because he just scary. Like. Well, he's remember. Got that manic like laughing, and then he needs the wine like so bad that it gets scary.
That was really like even this time I was like, oh,
like it loses that funny. Yeah, you're a weird, crazy skeleton to being like, oh, okay.
Oh, you have a problem. Oh
man, this is not great. But I remember so okay. So here's where I'm like, these are the things I remember so clearly that were absolutely not in it. Narwhals. Nope. They were just unicorns in the ocean. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then they turned into narwhals. Like, where did I get that? I don't know.
Just, you know, classic mythology.
Obviously. Like, I just like, how do I remember that so hard? And that's it was so not funny. There. And then I super remember him pouring the wine through his skeleton. And that absolutely didn't happen. It was empty when he drank it.
It was totally empty.
His skull just blushes because he's drunk.
And I remember Shmendrick turning the water into wine when in fact he just like chugs the water
like a big old faker
cup. So yeah, I remember, I definitely misremember that scene too.
Man,
I did very much remember his cheeks turning red though.
I did remember also his eyes turning into glowing hell coals,
which like why?
Because he gets all pissed and then he just starts screaming unicorn when they're running away. I was like, I remember being super terrified by that.
I remember it being scary to me that like his, you know, how you express emotion if you're a skeleton, the bones themselves kind of like.
Ooh, yeah.
And I remember being.
To make like eyebrow-ish.
Yeah. To like express
because you
anger.
Think like how weird, what's the movie where they shaved his eyebrows to make him look extra alien?
I don't know.
Because that's such an emotional expression for people's faces that if you don't have eyebrows, it's like an immediate wrong note for people because you don't have an interpretation.
Like, who either don't have eyebrows or who have like totally. Really faint eyebrows. And it is weird.
But they do it as a mechanism to make you immediately unsettled with somebody.
Oh, interesting. What movie is that?
Doesn't he not have eyebrows and powder or something?
I have no idea.
But there's also one other where I'm just trying to remember. It's like an alien creature or something, and they take the eyebrows off so that they'll look
hyper
weird.
Where they just paint him green?
Maybe. I think, also that. I he probably doesn't have eyebrows.
So, I mean, that tracks.
And like, he was creepy as hell, so great. Yeah. It's not only one or two things. Oh, look,
baby. Oh my goodness, they're both being very cute. I'm going to take a picture right now. That's really cute. That's what my cats do.
Yeah.
They're much smaller.
No, she like got up there one day because when they see something out the window, Walter was always on the couch and she's like, but I want to see.
Oh, and she's so much littler than him.
I know, you can edit all that out, so.
I really like that a feature of my podcast is like pet time with other people's animals. Like, I'm really into that. Like when Katie's cat like flipped out and started attacking the window, it was like honestly like the best thing that's ever happened.
That's perfect.
To me.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So
my cat dog climbing on the couch.
They're just being too quiet now. I wish they would bark a little.
Those jerks.
Oh yeah. So like one thing that I also, as far as like big ideas go, that kind of made me a little yucked. This is, I don't know if this is a thing of older movies where just like the love interest was like so assumed or like a thing of kids movies. But in this movie, it was just like, you know, like the handsomest guy and the prettiest lady.
Yeah, not like the dude destined. That sacrificed his life to help her, but like, just some prince guy.
It's just like, it's
Jeff
so,
Bridges.
Yeah, right.
I mean, fair enough.
I hate when the romances are just like so assumed.
Yeah, but I do think that that's a little bit of a dated thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure it's still a thing, but like I think it's a little treated a little bit better.
Do you think even in kids movies these days or
well actually maybe more so. Because I think those are like a little sensitive to that.
I really hope so,
because I haven't like watched a ton of kids movies, but I mean I just think it was always so blatant in movies growing up.
Yeah,
that it was just like a really assumed thing, like, oh, if there is a prince, we know that's the love interest, like that's right. Just done.
I can't remember having a problem with it. ever.
No, because, like, why would... I mean, what else do you have to compare it to when you're a kid? Like, that's what you've seen in movies.
Do you think that's why millennials are so disaffected?
Oh, end of podcast. I could see you, like, being like, this is going to be shitty. I'm going to say it anyways.
I don't know. Do you think do you think that affected culture?
Yes, definitely. But I also think that's why when we grew up, we're like, that's fucking bullshit. That's not how it works.
So that's why we're so cynical. Are millennials cynical? I don't fucking know.
I think this is kidding. Like, this is, like, so, I such a nebulous.
I think there's something here. I don't think we need to unpack it all, but I definitely think that, like, as we go on, we're gonna, like, figure this out.
Okay, but I mean, I don't really want to get into that because I have no basis to talk about it because I've seen, like, a kid's movie recently.
I know, so that's why
considered it, and I think that, like, I've definitely heard more people talking about that being a ridiculous premise.
Okay.
And more kids' movies with female characters that are way less one-dimensional and not necessarily only focused on some love interest.
Good. Good.
But I... yeah, I can't actually speak to that other than that I...
Because, like...
I desperately hope that that's coming true.
But it's one thing, like, when I'm rewatching stuff, I'm just, like, I'm finding myself assuming it for movies that are made in within a certain period. I'm like, oh, well, that woman is obviously going to fall in love with this dude because, like, that's the way that it works. So it's, like,
right, but
I hate that it's, like, an assumption that I'm making.
I think, though, there is a difference between assuming that in a story you're watching that you know is a story that's being presented to you and necessarily internalizing it. I think, that does happen to a certain extent, but I also think you reach a point in your life when you know that that's not the thing.
Well, we'll see. Speak for yourself. I'm
gonna talk to my therapist now. No. But, like, for example, I think the only children's movie I've seen recently is Moana.
Oh, yeah.
If that's how you say it. It's not a love interest story, which that's, like, not even a component, which was really, great. Really cool. Yeah. I was like, oh, wow, okay, and it's over. Yeah. That's, oh, cool. That did not have to be a thing.
Turns out you don't need somebody smooching.
Who knew?
Oh, my God.
Who knew? You didn't need that to be your, like, one and only goal.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool, and I think that that's not isolated.
I'm glad that that's a thing now. If it wasn't a thing,
fingers crossed. It definitely wasn't a thing then. Can you think of a single other kids movie that you watched as a kid that didn't have some kind of love interest?
And also, like, it's very appearance based.
Oh, totally.
And kind of the most
and like the matching couples,
right? Exactly.
Like Little Mermaid, where like the mermaid couples are like skin tone matched and tail color matched.
Yeah.
And then in Fantasia,
I was gonna
the
say
fucking Fantasia. Horses, the like centaur people. It was the most.
Yeah.
Like, racially and
we were
color.
Super, oh, I was super, like, racist. Ugh. And I
actually,
remember
when I was looking for my copy of The Last Unicorn, and I was like, oh no, I can't find it. What are we going to do? Before I knew that it was on Netflix, and I found my copy of Fantasia, and I was like, oh, we could do that. And then I was like, oh, that's a long one.
I was like,
and considering how much we just got into,
actually, I feel like
Fantasia
would be really fun.
One.
We would go scene by scene, and it would be really amazing.
Okay.
Now I'm, like, really excited.
I'm in.
Awesome.
I'm in. I have it.
But, like, it's so... it didn't even occur to me, but it's probably racist.
Yeah.
Right? Like...
Yeah.
But you're like, oh, no, I mean, whatever. It's just... It's blue horses.
But it's,
like, that's not
but
racist.
It's on,
like,
such
of course
a level
the blue
of...
horses are going to pair up.
Yeah.
Like, and the blue ones and the yellow ones and, like, the black ones.
God,
like,
it's
whatever.
That, like, really, really deep down assumed shit where you're like, oh, that makes total sense, but for no reason.
And it's like, oh, no, they just look better together. Like,
oh, God. And then you're like, hey, self.
Yeah. And that's, I definitely remember, like, thinking that as a kid and being like, oh, no, they just, like, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are there races? Although there's those mushrooms with those, like, Chinese hats.
There's a lot of racist things in Fantasia, like a huge amount.
Did they fix it in Fantasia 2000?
I don't know.
I never saw that one.
Probably not. Can I just say.
Was there anything racist in this movie? Other than the fact that, like, every single person was white?
other than this major. I don't know.
Well, in medieval, like, I mean, in medieval, like, what, England?
Yeah, they have no clear setting for this.
Yeah.
It's not even, like...
Well, in medieval pastoral...
I mean, it, the only thing that gives you a time for it is the clothing of the audience at the, well, in the carnival. Kind of... And then that there's, like, a castle and a king, and it's a very traditional-y...
sort of types of stuff that the jester does, maybe.
Yeah, but that's about it. Like, even the landscape...
Well, it's green.
It's a generic forest animated landscape. Like, and she travels, and then they go to the sea.
So it's kind of, it's after... It's post-Robin Hood. We know that.
That's right.
Well, hold on. Is the movie Robin Hood racist? The animated one?
Well, all the creatures go with their own creatures.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, see, I haven't seen it in a really long time.
I mean, as far as I remember, there's, like, he has his fox lady, Maid Marian.
Yeah.
Wow, that's another one I haven't seen in a long time. But, like, the nurse is, like, an old hen, right?
Who does she marry?
I don't think she does because she's an old hen.
Old hens deserve love too, Molly. Please.
I'm not saying she doesn't ever have love. Because I think there's somebody she, like, flirts with and gets all...
Is it the
frisky with?
Is it the every town?
I don't. He's a rooster. Yeah, the rooster is the like minstrel.
Does he flirt with the hen? Because that would be.
No, I think she flirts with somebody. I think she either flirts with like, fuck, who is it? Like the king. I don't know. She's a very saucy old hen.
Oh my god, I love her.
I need to watch that again because she's great.
I found
no, but like, there's like the little old mouse couple that runs the church that's all poor, but there are a couple of mice. I don't know if there's any interspecies couples in that movie. I just feel hyper unqualified to be talking about any of this right now, to be honest. That's
true. You're absolutely right. Well, we're talking about... Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we are talking about, like,
mice. You're just trying to bring that.
Mice and foxes marrying each other.
You know, but... every possible heavy subject into our podcast.
I sure am. That's cool. Kind of the goal. Well, this movie, like, really got me, like...
Yeah, I was not... that was really not expected. Although, I should have suspected a little bit when we're talking about... unicorns, because that mythology is like very fraught with,
and I don't
maidens and virginity and purity, and
I don't know that much about it. I just know that
I think it's like a pretty vague one.
All I know is from Harry Potter, like, if you drink a unicorn's blood you become immortal, but at like such a devastating cost that, like,
yeah, you like lose your soul or right, something.
So most people choose not
the only mythology I know off the top of my head is the one about only maidens can see them or something, and they're supposed to come fall asleep with their head in the maiden's lap,
and that's how they get
captured. But that's like, honestly, you have to be like super pure or something to see them, is the only real thing I've ever heard about it.
Interesting. I'm reading my notes, like, speaking of just bummer.
Yeah, bring it back.
I have written down in my notes, I want to die when you die.
Oh, man. God. Does she say that to Lear?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She says it to the prince when she's a lady.
They're like, no, you have to become a unicorn again and be immortal. And she says, no, I want to die when you die. Yuck.
But at the end, she kind of brings it up. Like, when she does go back to being a unicorn, and she's the only unicorn that's ever felt love or regret.
Right. So they talk a lot about, like, they really dig into this regret stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So when, at the beginning, I don't remember why she says it, but she's like, I've never felt regret. I felt sorrow, but that's different.
Yeah. She says, like, I can't feel regret. Because Schmendrick asks her a question about, like, oh, well... I don't know. Do you regret something? Do you regret letting the harpy out? Or it was something like that. And she was like, I don't feel regret. I can't feel regret. I can feel sorrow. But
yeah. So then she, well, I guess it's kind of weird. Cause like as a human, no, I guess it's actually not weird. As a human, she loses all of her unicorn thoughts because unicorns have like way.
Right. She forgets who she is. Yeah. She can't remember anything about that. And she gets kind of transformed more quickly by being in love.
Right.
Because that's so foreign to a unicorn.
A human like wouldn't be capable of experiencing these like.
That a unicorn like, would.
Immortal. As a human, she'd be like incapable of.
Oh, of not experiencing like to be, those things?
Because like a unicorn consciousness is like so much bigger, man.
Well, I mean, I think that's what they're implying, is that like if you're immortal, there's a trade-off of like what you can and can't deal with if you're immortal.
Right. But even coming
but back after into... she says she's appreciative of it. Right. She's like, I would never, like, I'm grateful for what you did.
Even though change it makes her me, kind of
even
an
though she said, what does she say? A part of me will always be mortal or something like that.
Oh, God, that's so heavy.
And she says, like, that, so she says outright that she's the only unicorn that has ever felt love or regret.
Oh, my God.
And then, and she says that in a positive way, like,
yeah, which is good.
Yeah, totally. But that's like the very end of the movie.
God, this movie has so, like,
and take that to grow up on, kids.
Like, right. Yeah. We'll just feel all the feels.
Yeah. And I don't think kids are incapable of dealing with, like, much bigger concepts.
Yeah, and just, like, even if they seem negative, they are important and valuable, and they help you grow.
Yeah.
That's a really good message.
Yeah, I like that. I feel like we could maybe end on that note.
I think that's probably a good note to end on. I feel like we have a lot to think about. Usually we do a cheers at the end.
I'm in.
What should we do it to?
Love and regret.
Oh, God.
Oh, barf. I just dribbled a little bit.
We should do it to something fun and happy.
Okay. Probably the last of the Red Hot Swamis.
Okay. Yeah.
And to being real.
To being real.
So, cheers to the last of the Red Hot Swamis.
And I, too.
And I, too.
I'm real.
Thanks so much for listening. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell a friend and remember to subscribe in Apple Podcasts. You can find the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or you can email me at fundipandcherrycokepod@gmail.com. Also, please remember to check out two of my favorite podcasts who you heard from in the middle of the show, Home Video Hustle and We're All Mad Here. See you next week.